Nitzachim, Perek Beis, Mishnah Ches, 2:8, last of the Perek, and we'll discuss more about things that you can't do on Pesach, lest they come to create chametz. The verse is, Ein nosen kemach l'toch charoses. You can't put flour into a dip called charoses. This is not the charoset of the Pesach Seder. The word cheres means clay, and like that we're talking about some sort of thick dip, but not the dip, the sweet dip of dipping your maror into a Pesach Seder, rather some other kind of dip they use. It was actually quite a pungent dip, a sour dip that they dipped meat into that had vinegar and water inside of it. So the water, of course, will ultimately cause chimutz, cause leavening, but the vinegar perhaps retards that process. So the Mishnah here is saying you still can't do it. O l'toch hachardal, and similarly you cannot dip or add flour to your mustard. Mustard seeds are ground up to make the mustard paste that we know as mustard, but also water is added to that. And although mustard by itself or vinegar by itself would not cause leavening, since both of these dips, charoset and chardal, have water inside of them, they will ultimately cause the flour to leaven. V'im nasa, now if you did put flour into the mustard, we're specifically talking about mustard over here, ye'achel meyad, Tanakama holds that at least if you did that, which was forbidden to do, but if you did it, now you have a solution prior to being over by Yerala by Yamatsa. You could simply eat the mustard and flour combination, because Tanakama holds that the mustard will keep the fermentation from happening very quickly, giving you enough time to consume it. In contrast, the vinegar in the charoset mixture doesn't sufficiently retard the fermentation process. In fact, it could actually expedite it. And therefore, if you ever add flour to your charoset, even though there's vinegar inside of there, or maybe because there's vinegar inside of there, it's immediately forbidden. Reb Meir Oser, Reb Meir says there's no difference at all between vinegar and, charoset with the vinegar ingredients or mustard. Both are forbidden immediately because there's water inside of there. You cannot eat that on Pesach under any circumstances. The halacha, technically speaking, is like the Tanakama, meaning that while the charoset is forbidden, mustard, if you did add it in a forbidden be'isser, you're not allowed to do that, but if you did, you could, after the fact, eat it promptly. While that's technically the halacha, according to, for Ashkenazim, the Rama paskins, that chardal, mustard, is a type of kitnios, and the Minog University by Ashkenaz was not to eat kitnios, and therefore mustard remains forbidden anyways, at all events on Pesach l'maisa. The Mishnah continues and says, "Ein mevashen es haPesach." You're not allowed to cook your korban Pesach. Now that actually is a pasuk. The pasuk says, "Al tochlu mimenu na." You can't eat from the korban Pesach while it's raw, meaning uncooked fully. Uvashel muvushal b'mayim, nor if your korban Pesach was boiled in water. So here the bishul we're talking about is not the cooking inside water, because that's from the pasuk, but we're saying even other ingredients. Therefore, it says here, although the Doraisa clearly says there's no cooking in water, the rabbis are expanding it to say, because of this double language of vashel muvushal, cooking, that also even other liquids are prohibited from the pasuk. So lo b'mashkim, you can't use mashkim. Mashkim here, a reference, as it typically is in the Mishnayos, to those zayin mashkim, those seven liquids, the yad shachat dam liquids. So we're talking here, for example, honey or oil or wine. Those are forbidden to use to cook your, to like boil your korban Pesach. V'lo b'mei peros, and similarly, you can't use other kinds of fruit juices that aren't from the seven particular machshirin, those seven liquids that ready for tumah. But even like, you know, pomegranate juice or something like that also would be forbidden. Aval sachin, what you could do is smear with oil, umatbilin oso behen, or you could mitabel, to spice up. You could flavor, add a flavoring to your roasted korban Pesach with fruit juices or oil, etc. So the bartender brings two pshatim here. The first pshat he brings is that of, we're talking here about after the fact, meaning first you're going to roast over an open flame, as you're required to do your korban Pesach. That's not called boiling. And after you now have roasted meat, you could add oil to it or dip it in some kind of fruit juice. That would not ruin the roasted flavor. That's not called namu v'shal. That's considered totally tzli, roasted, just with an added flavor. That's the first pshat he brings. The second pshat he brings is that there are those who say even putting like a rub, like an oil rub or whatever, fruit juice rub on the meat prior to the roasting is also permitted, because ultimately you're just roasting it and the limited amount of liquid on the outside doesn't make it boiling, it's all straight roasted, just adding a flavor. That's the second shot he brings. Finally, the Mishnah says, Mei tashmisho shel nachtum, the water that the baker uses, the functional water that's used either to like cool off his hands when he's working with the hot dough, or perhaps it's to wash off his utensils after they're, you know, been used. The point is that they have flour there mixed with water, so that's a recipe for chametz, of course. So what do you do with that wastewater? Yishafchu, you got to pour it away, meaning pour it on like a slope somewhere where it'll flow away. It can't pool in one place. B'bnei shehen machmitzin, because if left in one place, ultimately, since there's flour and water together, that will constitute real chametz, and they would have a b'layirai b'layimatzah problem. Therefore, you have to pour it away down some sloping hill somewhere so it goes away and becomes negligible. And with that, we finish the second parak of Psachim.